Good afternoon, everyone. You can hear me fine, I'm sure, right? Okay, well, we're going to get started in our session around the National HIV/AIDS Strategy and Implementation. We have several speakers, as you will see, on our panel today, all with a different perspective. So I'm going to just do a little housekeeping so you understand how we're going to run this. I'm going to introduce each speaker, our speakers, before they present. We're going to hold questions until the end so that at least we make sure that the last presenter, who's always usually cheated in time when we start doing discussion in the middle, has enough time for her presentations. So please just hold your questions to the end. All right, our first presenter is Jamie McNano, who is the Director of Outreach for the Jacques Initiative at the Institute of Human Virology at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. She has been implementing HIV testing and linkage to care programs in community and clinical settings since 2008. Please welcome Ms. McNano.
Good afternoon, everyone. I assume you can all hear from the back of the room. Okay, great. So I'm going to talk to you about an innovative approach that we've implemented at the University of Maryland to address the national HIV and AIDS strategy through a coordinated approach. This approach has been implemented across our academic and our clinical campus. And I have no relationships to disclose. So I'm part of the JOCS initiative. So just to kind of give you guys a little bit of background, we are an HIV comprehensive service organization within the School of Medicine at the University of Maryland. We provide HIV primary care, but we also do a lot of other things. So we do outreach and testing. We have community-based education and support, peer mentors, and we also have an adherence program for HIV. So our services are comprehensive, and we're embedded in the university, so we have a lot of collaboration at that level, and we've also made ourselves available to the community. So really, this whole approach to addressing the HIV strategy, the national HIV strategy, started several years ago, and we really felt that we were at a moment with the HIV epidemic. Policy and science have really aligned over the past 5 years to put us in a position where we're much more equipped to wholeheartedly address the HIV epidemic. But obviously, there are many challenges that remain. So over the past 30 years, we've seen a ton of progress. 30 years ago, the HIV epidemic looked different than it did today, and the solutions to address the HIV epidemic also looked very different. We have initiatives at the global and national level that are equipping us with really clear goals to address the HIV epidemic. So UNAIDS said in 2011, we want zero discrimination, zero new cases of HIV, and zero AIDS-related deaths. And at the JOCS Initiative, we take those goals very seriously. In 2010, we also had our national HIV and AIDS strategy, which provided our nation with a roadmap to address the HIV epidemic for the first time. And we had four main goals that came out of that. And these goals are very important to us. They're simple but important. To reduce HIV infection, renew HIV infections, to increase access to care and improve health outcomes for people living with HIV, reduce HIV-related health disparities. And the fourth goal, which was really a national goal, but we've taken it to heart at the University of Maryland, to achieve a more coordinated response to the HIV epidemic. And although this was in reference to national agencies coordinating better, we believe that we could do this on our campus and in our city. More things have started to align. So in 2013, we had the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force saying, you know, routine HIV testing should have a grade A rating. This further equipped us to be able to go to providers and say, you really should be testing for HIV. And this was on the heels of the 2006 guidelines from the CDC. Then there was the Affordable Care Act, again, with an emphasis on preventative care. We've had more and more initiatives popping up that I've been hearing about at this conference all day to incorporate prevention into healthcare, more innovative approaches at the community level to get people into healthcare. And then as it relates to HIV, we know now that HIV treatment is prevention. So not only are we charged to equip persons that are living with HIV with what they need, HIV medication and support services to deal with their disease, but we know that when we treat people, individuals with HIV, we treat the community as well. So we have a public health directive, and we felt that it was supremely important that our healthcare providers on our campus and the future healthcare providers that are going into practice, whether they be nurses or physicians or dental hygienists, know that by taking a stand against HIV for their patients, that they're addressing the community's health. The DHHS guidelines for HIV treatment have kind of moved with the times and said HIV treatment is indicated with HIV disease. It has nothing to do with CD4 count anymore. So we are charged with a clear responsibility to identify cases of HIV and get persons into care, which we know is very challenging. So we're in Baltimore, Maryland. Our HIV care continuum looks very similar to the continuum for the United States. We have about 1 in 5 persons that are infected with HIV are unaware of their status, and many more people that are not linked and retained in care or treatment. About 22% of the people living with HIV in Baltimore are suppressed on antiretroviral therapy. And this continuum has really been the framework for us to say, let's look at these gaps. What are we to be doing at each of these gaps in order to address the HIV epidemic? And the university is equipped to do so. In Baltimore, 1 in 43 people over the age of 13 is living with HIV. Disproportionately, HIV is obviously impacting racial and ethnic minorities in Baltimore, just like it is in other urban areas across the U.S. And in the zip codes surrounding our campus, the rates are astronomically high. So in zip code 21201, 1 in 27 people are living with HIV, and that's the zip code where this large academic medical center is located. And these other zip codes are the zip codes around our campus. So geography does play a role in your health, and it's important to realize that in addressing HIV as well. We also know that HIV tracks with social and economic disparities. So this is the CDC data among heterosexuals in urban areas. So HIV is associated with high school education. HIV is associated with your employment status and whether you're living above or below the poverty line and whether or not you have a stable place to live. This is a map of Baltimore, and I know I'm moving fast, but I'm just making the same point over and over, but it's really important information. In Baltimore, HIV is associated with poverty. So those dark areas on the map are pockets, our highest transmission areas for HIV, and those are the areas where greater than 20% of the population is living below the poverty line. And as you can see in Baltimore, what we like to share with people is that these poverty-stricken areas are not just little pockets in our city. It's widely dispersed, and that's why our HIV epidemic is generalized. So in 2011, we had the idea for a program called Preparing the Future, and our goal was to mobilize our academic campus and its clinical programs to address the national HIV and AIDS strategy. This fit really well on our campus. We have a president that is on board with interprofessional education. Our entire university is on board with addressing health disparities and has many initiatives, specifically in West Baltimore, to address health disparities. So we felt as though we could move forward with a program like this, with this on our campus. We started with creating an academic curriculum, and this academic curriculum started to be implemented in the medical and nursing school, and now we've actually expanded to incorporate components of this curriculum into all 6 professional disciplines on our campus: medical students, nursing students, law students, dental hygiene students, social work students, are all working together to understand how the HIV epidemic is affecting our city and what those gaps are in the continuum and coming up with strategies that they can address that continuum for their specific discipline and to work as a team to address it together. So our curriculum has a didactic and a service learning component, and we synthesize interprofessional ideologies and use a patient-centered approach to teach about HIV. And really what we've learned over the past few years is although this curriculum is framed in the context of HIV, it's pretty much interchangeable with all of the other health issues that are facing urban communities. So I wanted to just share some data about the program. So since 2009, we've trained about 900 students through this approach. And we're really proud, I'm going to say it again, about how it's interprofessional. So not only do we have students from all these disciplines involved, but they're actually in the room together when they do their workshops, and they're in the community together delivering services. They're in clinical settings together as well. And we've been evaluating the impact of this program on students through pre- and post-tests. That assess knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors related to HIV. So students are given a pre-test at the beginning of their semester and a post-test at the end of their semester. And what I'm showing you today is data from the 2012-2013 academic year, where 218 students successfully completed the pre- and the post-test in that year period. And this is the breakdown of the students that were involved in that particular year of assessment. This means the number of the students that actually completed the pre- and post-test successfully. And I'm just going to, in this short amount of time, go over a few of the outcomes that were especially striking to us on this 35-question pre- and post-test. And we actually have some qualitative data as well from the pre- and post-test, which was equally as riveting as this data. So the question was, I don't know enough about HIV to have an informed conversation with my patients or clients. And at the beginning, about 47% of the students said that they knew enough. And at the end, about 95% of the students answered false to that question. So there was a pretty significant change in their comfort and knowledge level about HIV. I am able to discuss HIV in a culturally competent manner with my patients and clients. And the students that felt that they could do so was about 49% at the beginning of that intervention and 93% at the end. I am comfortable talking about sensitive topics, including sex, with my patients and clients. Again, the number of students that were able to do so or felt that they could do so went up significantly. HIV testing should be offered to all patients, regardless of their risk factors, in routine health visits. And although the jump wasn't so great in this area, 89% to 95%, we kind of felt as though these students are coming into their training feeling as though HIV testing should be a routine part of medical care. So that breakdown is happening where, you know, providers aren't offering HIV testing at somewhere along their training or in their practice. So we need to kind of teach students about this early. I am or would be comfortable offering HIV testing to all patients. Again, these students feel as though they are. Comfort in disclosing results. I'm going to kind of skip forward, but all of these data indicate that this curriculum has been successful in increasing knowledge and comfort in addressing the HIV epidemic. Comfort in talking to patients about risk behaviors, sex, drugs. If you have access to the slide deck, you'll be able to click on a video with students kind of talking about their experience with this curriculum. So this curriculum has now been coupled with a routine HIV testing initiative in our academic medical center. So we felt as though we're training students and we need to give them places where they're actually going to practice these skills in clinical settings on our campus. And when we started to do this program, we looked to implement an actual practice change in our academic medical center around HIV testing and linkage to care. And we measured our success through the uptake of HIV testing, basically an offer rate and an acceptance rate for testing. And key to our approach was a standardized practice for practice change, standardized process for practice change. So these six steps, stakeholder engagement, identification of a leadership team, infrastructure development, staff education, implementation, and continuous quality improvement have been used through a phased approach throughout our hospital to kind of disseminate practice change around routine HIV testing. We felt all along that this is a multidisciplinary and collaborative approach. So we've taken the medical center and surrounded them with resources that have been interdisciplinary, engaging multiple sectors of the medical center, like our finance division and laboratory, IT for medical record changes, and experts from the infectious disease division to assure that all the resources were in place to support the campus or the academic institution to embrace this process change. Just to share some data, so from March 2013 to September 2014, we were successful in implementing a routine process in the Department of Medicine, and we've since expanded to certain surgical services in the hospital, and we're in the process of rolling out in the emergency department. So prior to our intervention, about 3% of patients admitted to medicine were tested for HIV. At this point, about 71% of patients have been offered When you measure that over the intervention period where nurses have been involved in the offer as well, so we changed our process because of our continuous quality improvement looking at data, we've now gotten an offer rate to be above 85% with nursing involvement. Our acceptance rate has been very high, and we've diagnosed quite a few new infections, 21 newly diagnosed patients. The average CD4 count is low, so this is telling us that we need to kind of do more. So, like I said, this is a phased approach, and our hospital has actually adopted a policy around routine HIV testing now, which is allowing us to kind of roll this out across our campus. Big thing for us has been our previous positives. So by doing this, we've alerted providers and nurses, you need to be aware about HIV. Think about the continuum of care. Think about your previous positives. When you have a previous positive, let us know. So we're monitoring all admissions, and our organization is going to see every previous positive that's admitted to these areas of the hospital and intervening for the purposes of linkage and reengagement in care. So that's been a key component of our strategy. We feel like equipping the workforce to address HIV has broadened our ability to address the continuum of care. We've created an app that the academic and clinical campus can use to access resources related to HIV, and we're disseminating it through our education. And just when you do, if you do access the slide deck, we have another clinical example from our routine screening program, a video that depicts a patient's kind of journey through being offered HIV testing in the medical setting and being linked to outpatient care through this collaborative approach. So we feel as though we're effectively addressing all four goals of the National HIV Strategy through a combined approach on our academic and clinical campus. And, you know, as we move forward, we hope to kind of expand to more areas and be able to kind of evaluate the impact of this intervention on the epidemiology in our area. And that's it.